are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
What's happening? How you guys been?
Great.
Yeah, pretty good, I would say.
Are we just morphing into the thing now?
Yeah, I think so. Well, my update is, let me think here. So I was contemplating what I wanted to focus on. And I think the best thing for me to focus on is what I'm going to share on Lent. Because it's 2 days before Lent. We're recording on Monday here today. And Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. So I've been thinking like, okay, well, maybe I wanted to quit social media. And then it kind of transformed into like wanting to quit internet surfing. And then this weekend, of course, it happens. I get the epiphany this weekend that I really think that instead of coming up with the I'm not going to do this kind of thing, like I did last year where I quit caffeine like 3 weeks late or whatever. this time I'm going to focus on like an action that's going to like motivate me to do less of things. And it's something I already hinted at episodes ago. And that's I'm going to start reading more books all the time. That's my goal. Like and I came to this realization yesterday, actually, of all days, that basically what I want to do is just read books instead of like doing other things like going on the internet and stuff like that. And what sparked this is that I've been reading this book, A Winner's Promise. And apparently I just decided to stop reading the book like 30 pages to the end. I only had 30 pages left in the book. And I just decided to take a really long break for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something. You know, like 4 weeks is just, or like 4 weeks to a month and a half is just the amount of time to start forgetting stuff. And then could result in just completely giving up on the book. But in this case, for whatever reason, I just continue to resume on this book, even though I take these really long breaks and it's crazy. So I end up reading this book like towards the end here. And I just like feel so like happy reading the end because it's just so exciting, like everything coming to a climactic point. At the end. And I just love when books do that. They like all these like things unfolding and so forth. And it just becomes like so fascinating to read that that's what sparked this idea that I want to like read more books for my my Lent opportunities. So that's what I'm going to do. The only problem is I got to not get distracted. So one other thing that ended up happening was yesterday, I started finding these really fun casual games on my phone. So it all started with my talking to one of my coworkers about Angry Birds. So maybe we should just play Angry Birds because we were both talking about how we don't have time to play any games. And so he started talking to me about Pokemon trading card game or whatever. He's playing that on his phone. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to install Angry Birds. And then if I end up installing it, I'll tell you about it. So turns out they don't have Angry Birds in the Google Play Store anymore. It's just Angry Birds 2 and some of these other Angry Birds spinoffs and stuff. So I end up playing Angry Birds 2, and it's actually way more fun than the first one. And I end up finding this other game called Bubble Shooter. I don't know if any of you have played Bubble Shooter before.
Yes, I love the Bubble Shooter type game.
Yeah, yeah. So I got the Bubble Shooter on my phone, and I find out that the Bubble Shooter is even more fun than Angry Birds 2. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? So like, and I find out that the Bubble Shooter has like 5,000 levels. So I could just like play Bubble Shooter every day and I could probably do it for years and I probably wouldn't even come close to finishing the game. So I gotta not let these casual games distract me too much from my my Lent opportunity of reading more books. But if my brain really is melted, then I guess I can go ahead and play the casual games on my phone.
You can decide 3 weeks into Lent that you're going to give up the phone games.
I give you
that permission.
I could, yes. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Indeed. Maybe that'll just become like the new internet surfing for me. Like this just in, I'm playing casual games more than I was internet surfing, and I cannot read more books because I'm sucked into these casual games. I have renewed my Lent opportunity.
That's what happens to me. Like, I got to get off social media, and then I'm on my phone. I'm like, I can't do anything now. There's no social media. Oh, I know. I'll put a game on there, and then I just can't stop playing the game, and that's the whole thing. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then I'll say this more maybe for next time, or maybe the Methodist moment or something. But the thing that I had mentioned, prayer, peace, Bible books, or P squared, B squared, I've been focusing a lot on peace, and it's been really providing me just a lot of like meaning in my life. And it's just been really, really nice. So yeah, maybe I'll jump into that more a little bit later. But yeah, that's my update.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beth, what have you been up to?
Have either of you thought of Lent? Maybe you had something else you wanted to share, but I'm just curious.
No, I've been thinking about Lent, and I'm still trying to decide. I do want to try to give up something.
Okay.
Which... every year I'm like, I'm going to give up alcohol. And then I'm like, no, I might need that. But this year I think I'm actually going to try it because I'm at a really weird place in my life right now, as is the world. But like, I just mean like for me, mental health wise, because I've made like lots of major changes in my mental health care in a short amount of time. And I just feel like I'm doing life without a safety net now, because I don't have anyone to talk through it. But what's been happening is I have to rely more on myself and my own intuition. And I'm realizing like, oh, like you're doing a lot better than you thought you were. And like, I'm just kind of like sorting out like a lot of like, oh, these are the feelings I was supposed to be feeling. Oh, this is the trauma that was happening, which is why I do this and, you know, all of this. So it's like I have all these moving pieces. I feel like I've made more breakthroughs in like my mental health, like feeling like figuring out more things about myself in this time that I haven't been talking to anybody than I have in my whole time I've been doing therapy, which has been since. November 2000. And no, not that, not that. No, 2020. Wait. So only 5 years, not 25 years. I was like, that's too much. That's too many years. Backtrack.
25 years. I mean, my gosh, it really, really could happen.
And your therapist is 307 years old.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm kind of like, I feel like instead of relying on like, oh, I got to talk about this with my therapist, what would my therapist think I should say? It's more like it's just I'm different in the way that I'm dealing with other people now. I think it's actually part of the boundaries class too.
Yeah.
I think it's a thing that's literally and figuratively keeping me afloat. And it's like, oh no, this is like, I've stopped looking at things like, okay, like, what does this person need from me? Like, it's different for everybody. Like, I know what I would want, but what I want isn't necessarily the same thing different people would want. So what I'm trying to do, and I had a lot of practice with it this weekend, I'm trying to look into people specifically and being, what does this person right here in front of me need? Not what I do. What do I recommend? So anyway, I have my boundaries class and my people life class is what's keeping me afloat right now. You know, the School of Hard Knocks is my therapist now. Just kidding. But
I think that's my my therapist that I don't want to admit is my therapist, the School of Hard Knocks.
But like, for me to stop and be like, okay, what does this person need? Why are they feeling like that? It's been able to help me like do that for people in my own family. Like I was trying to help Owen out with stuff earlier today, and I could just tell that he was being really short and impatient with me. And I knew it wasn't anything that I did. So I was like, why is he feeling this way? But why? And then it was because he was nervous. And so I was like, why could he be feeling this way? Oh, because I'm supposed to be helping him with the paperwork for this thing that he has to do. He found a new therapist. And anyway, This is Owen's update. Just kidding. But I be like, why is he being short with me? Oh, because it's his first day starting today. And, you know, he's nervous about that. And he's taking it out on me because like, that's what his anxiety is doing. He's scared and nervous. So like, for me, just like, asking the question, why? Oh, he's scared. Oh, it's because of this emotion. Like that's been helping me. And all of this to say, I've created a new personal life ministry, and my life ministry, which is the whole, your mission field, you know, now entering your mission field. My life mission field is to care for the wounded birds of people. The people who are wounded inside and don't know to help themselves. So I'm asking Don to make me a logo that says Wounded Bird Ministries.
Wow. That's very sweet, Beth. That's really nice.
Ministry.
That's really like thoughtful and so considerate and kind. That's awesome.
It's the only thing that's getting me through the day is like, what can we do for other people? Not
yes,
what we do for ourselves, but me trying to figure out how I can help other people is what's helping me heal as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Really, like if you want to help yourself, you know, help others. And I do think that that's true.
I totally agree.
And for a really long time, I've been wondering, like, what is my place on this planet? Why did God like pluck this silly little goose like here? And I'm like, oh, it's to bring out the silly little geese in other people. That's what it is.
You definitely hatched a silly little goose in me, Beth.
That is my superpower. That is what I'm supposed to be doing. I see it now. I see it so clearly. And so, yeah. Anyway, Jessica, once you finish moving to your next location, how has it been going?
Yeah, now I'm a little goose. Now I understand my true identity. Thank you for like pointing that out, Beth.
That's why God sent this silly little goose onto the planet to make a difference locally and not globally. And that's okay. Your difference doesn't have to be like, I used to want to, what's going on with you, Jessica? I'm still talking. I'm like, I just kept blah, blah, blahing and I need to stop. What's up, Jessica?
Not much. We are have a fire going in our house.
I love it. The weather's been so weird. It was like seasonably warm like last week, and then
oh my gosh, yeah. Yesterday was raining a little bit, and then today is like the strangest, driest, iciest wind ever.
Yeah.
Like oh my gosh, it's like a cold shower, but you're not getting wet at all. Like the exact opposite of getting wet. You're just completely dry. It's not a humidity kind of cold. It's a completely dry, icy. Yeah. Anyways, I'm doing it too. What's new with you, Jessica?
you better tell us what's going on with you. Otherwise, we'll just ramble on about other stuff.
Yeah. That's what's going on. Well, yeah. So it's been cold. We had a wood stove insert put into our fireplace.
That's why you were showing us that.
And so we we have a fire going right now to kind of reduce the amount of propane that we use. Mm. Basically, we are pioneer women.
I love it.
But yeah, things are good. Last Friday was my last day on campus at work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm working remote this entire month, which it hasn't really sunk in yet because it's still Monday. But I am noticing that I'm out of breath a lot. Mm-hmm. So if I sound like I'm out of breath on the podcast, it is because I'm out of breath.
Or was it because you were running in between times that you're not talking, you're just running the whole time?
Mainly because my lungs are now squished and they're in esophagus is what it feels like.
Oh my gosh.
Along with the rest of my internal organs. I'm officially 9 months, one day pregnant.
Whoa.
Which is crazy. Whoa. And my due date is in 27 days.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so weird to think about.
So March, okay.
March 30th. Nice, nice. Yeah. We went to Costco to stock up on
toilet paper,
paper towels, like things that were like, what are we not going to want to worry about purchasing when we have babies? So, and we got like, you know, the big body wash packs, the big toothpaste packs, like basically the main essentials, you know.
Awesome. You know the secret to saving money on shampoo?
What?
What is it, Beth?
I'm not sure. No one's told me yet.
Yeah. the key to saving money on shampoo is to remove the amount of hair on your head.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Indeed. Or you could use Castile soap, but I can get into that later.
That's definitely going to be
our Castile soap podcast, Tim.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I'll share that on one of my chickens just for.
Please, yeah, please do.
Do it.
Other than that, on Sunday, we met up with, there's a couple that, there's a girl that Amber worked with in Burbank, and her husband, they have a son. I think he's like a little over a year old. He's 14 months. And his name is Jonah.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
One of my very favorite things when I meet other Jonas out in the world.
Yeah, he is just like your Jonah, Beth.
Yeah. Jonah is also 14 months. No.
14 months, half September, May, June, July, October, November.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yes.
16 months.
We met them halfway through because they moved down to Anaheim to be closer to family. And so we met them for brunch on Sunday, which is why we weren't at church on Sunday. No, I did not go into labor.
Okay.
And I know everybody's been like, what?
I wasn't. I tried to get it.
I was wondering that, certainly.
Yeah. Because it obviously looks like I'm still in a hospital, right? Like, yeah. We met them in Burbank. We went to another Broken Egg. It's like such a delicious breakfast brunch spot. And we were able to hang out with them. And plus, it gave us an excuse to go to REI because I love going to REI. So,
is that like, like the hiking type outdoorsy brand?
Yeah. Okay. They have camping and we got a lot of our climbing gear there because we like to do rock climbing. We don't do that right now because that would be weird.
Oh, I was wondering if maybe you were rock climbing.
Baby might be trying to rock climb your insides right now.
The baby is totally rock climbing inside for sure, grabbing onto my internal organs and my as this holds. But they also have like a ton of other stuff, like bags, like travel bags and stuff. And we ended up finding a really cool bag that we like. And we were thinking, oh, this will be a perfect go bag for us, even though we already had a backpack that we were going to use. Mm-hmm. But it gave us an excuse to get
fun to buy stuff.
Yeah. And so,
yeah.
Plus, we're going to be on an adventure. So, like,
yeah.
We figured maybe we'll bring a tent into the postpartum delivery room. Yes. And we'll just camp out in the hospital and see what they say.
It's perfect that you say that, Jessica, because remember when I was like thinking that, well, you're going into labor, that place would be like a retreat or something. Remember? And then you reassured me that it was in fact a hospital, but I still imagine it's just like a full on retreat that you're going to and that's where you're having your baby.
That's how they lie to you to spare you the fact that childbirth is actually pretty painful.
Yes.
Oh, so okay.
We would we'd bring all of our camping gear to the hospital and request to be delivered in a tent.
I would love that.
Okay. Wow. That's like Mary and Joseph, right? Instead of much. A manger, it's a tent.
I feel like I don't know. It just feels like an episode of MASH or something where a woman is pregnant and they attempt and get. So try to get like, what's Alan Alda doing? Maybe he can deliver your baby.
Yeah. We've made the request.
You know, that's the next best thing, you know, the hospital. Great. But you know, if it's a tent next to the hospital, that's a lot better than having your baby at home. You know, at least you're next to the hospital.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. But anyway, that's kind of the update. No, we're not getting going to give birth in a tent. But we did find some really cool things. I didn't need a new winter jacket. Well, Amber's like, you needed a new winter jacket, but they was 50% off. I love deals. And if you're at REI and it's 50% off, you get it because that's amazing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Other than that, I did want to provide some updates in terms of things that are happening this week. So,
okay, great.
There's kind of a lot. Tim mentioned a little bit how this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So for those that, which means Lent starts. So we're going to observe Ash Wednesday. Join us all at Food for Thought from 6 to 7:30. And they're singing a hot meal, an inspirational Lenten message followed by the imposition of ashes. So join in. Oh my gosh, I'm so out of breath. then
that's okay.
Hot meal.
And then we also have next Sunday is the Lenten Messy Church, which is the escape room from 4 to 6. Yeah. Beth has been preparing for this by rearranging the entire church into a crazy escape room. And so it's going to be just incredible trying to get from the fireside room to the fellowship hall, you know.
So everything's going to be on fire to make it more challenging. So
there's going to be lava rocks that you have to walk on.
Quicksand.
Quicksand has been installed. It's going to be such an incredible Lenten Messy Church.
They're a lot of fun. You guys should come.
We shall see.
I meant the church. Jessica and Amber, like, you guys have a free pass until like for an entire year.
It's interesting the things where like I think our boundaries have definitely changed
terms of
other stuff. But anyway,
right.
And it's going to continue to change like over and over and over. Yeah.
Yeah. Now when I say, oh, I have to go to my kid's soccer practice, now I actually will have a kid and I don't have to make it up.
Get out of stuff.
It's not an excuse that is just randomly made up. It's an actual like, legitimately your kid would be going to soccer practice or you name it.
Because the last three times I've invited to you to one of my, you know, famous rockin' parties, you have said, I have to go to my kid's soccer practice.
Yeah. I'm in charge of sex, Beth. I'm sorry. We can't
before go. You even got pregnant, Jessica.
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
I thought you might have been lying about it, but now it's confirmed. And the whole reason I wanted to start this podcast because I wanted to call you out on your lies. One of my favorite things is to make up fake scenarios and pretend people. Jessica,
I love I love that we can just do that because it's nice. And everybody's like, wait, what do they already have a kid?
Beth doesn't have famous parties known for. I can't even remember the last time I hosted a party at my house, so
you should throw one.
Are you gonna be there? Are you gonna bring the snacks? You gotta go to your kids. Practice, don't you?
I think our kids have
kids.
Your kids have
our kids. Yeah, we have more than one now. It's been a couple of years. They are in a musical and they have rehearsal. We're in charge of snacks.
I have no idea what's even going on at this point.
They're both making me laugh.
Anyways, other than that, we've got Lenten Messy Church. Okay, and then we have Thursday, 3:13, the senior luncheon. Friday, 3:14, which is actually Pi Day, is the Amelia Gallam Memorial from 9 to 10. Saturday, 3:15, is the Alpha course begins at 12:30 to 2:30. I am trying to talk over our cat feeder right now, so if you hear something in the background, that's what that was.
I'll imagine the cat feeder.
I was trying to just talk nonstop, and I'm like, I can't breathe. Anyways.
Can't breathe, and then the cat feeder. I mean, my...
Anyway, and then on Sunday, actually, I do want to go back to Pi Day 3.
Okay.
In Palmdale, the Slice House just opened. If you guys have not gone, it's next to Krispy Kreme in that little area.
It used to be Pizza Rev.
Yeah, it used to be Pizza Rev, but we went there on opening day on Saturday, and it was so good, you guys. I highly recommend you going. You can get pizza by the slice. It's if you don't want to get an entire pizza, you don't have to. They have a list of every day they have, like, which pizzas are, like, their special ones that they have by the slice.
Oh.
And, they always have fresh chocolate chip cookies. But yeah, pizza is so good. I highly recommend it. So for Pi Day, you should go check that out.
What is it called again, Jessica?
Slice House.
Slice House. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So check it out. I am their unofficial sponsor. Sunday, 3:16. John.
Oh, that's the day God so loved the world.
I know.
Yeah.
The only day.
Oh, that, is that right, the only day, yes.
Thing? His only day? Yeah.
Yeah. And the rest of the days.
Day, but for God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to love you year round. I'm just going to love you extra hard on this one day.
Right.
Yeah, on one
right,
day, indeed. The rest of it is up to you and keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Yep. On Sunday 3/16 is the unofficial women's meeting in the fireside room at 10:15. I don't know what that means. Beth, do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do. I'm the one who has made a call for a women's meeting.
Mm.
Basically, there's a lot of women at the church, and I would love to be doing events with women that are, you know, through the church, but yeah. I don't want to be in charge of the entire women's ministry. So I would like a bunch of ladies to come and we can put our brains together and maybe figure out a solution that works for everybody. Like, oh, this month we're planning this thing and I'll be in charge of it. Next month it's blah, blah's turn to plan.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, I haven't met them. How?
They're really nice. Yeah. That's a little cool. Blah though.
Yeah. And well, that's cool. Finished. I'm glad you did that, Beth.
Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful.
So if you guys, if you're a woman and you want to see more things to
unofficially,
we're gonna have a friendship is what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
friendship, because that's the dude's
friendship,
yeah. Ladyship.
Yeah,
and then we would be the United Methodist. We would be the Umdu. Basically French. Well, that's awesome. So,
yeah, that's so cool.
Ladies, let's get together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Together.
And then on Sunday, 3/23. The visitation team is meeting at 10:15 in the fireside room. And then on Sunday, March 30th, also my due date, confirmation classes begin. We do confirmation class? Why did I not know this? Did I learn this in POMC 101 and didn't pay attention?
He only does it every couple years. He doesn't.
Okay.
Do it, yeah, he doesn't do it every year, and he will only allow you or your child to take the class if it's their idea. So if your mom's making you, he'll send you an excuse note excusing them from the class. And I think that's amazing because, I mean, neither one of my kids wanted to do the confirmation class, but yeah. I also don't think they would get anything out of it if they were just doing it because I wanted them to.
I
think that's a really cool way to go because, like, at the end of the day, you're the one who has to live your life, so you should get to make your decisions.
Cool. I just saw the in the bulletin. So Pastor Jim will lead a 6-week confirmation class for any youth wanting to grow deeper in their faith. So the class will gather Sundays from 12:30 to 2, starting March 30th. Well, if our kid is born on March 30th, then we can start sending them to confirmation classes on Sundays, and then Pastor Jim can just watch the child.
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
Oh, interesting.
Babysitting.
Yeah. Great. And they'll grow deeper in their faith.
And the baby can't say no because it can't talk.
Exactly. Well, that's, I love that. I think that's wonderful. So yeah. I'm hoping a lot of youth show up to that. And because we need some really, you know, a good group of core youth to continue leading, because we already have awesome youth at the church. But if we could get more youth that are interested in this kind of stuff, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That is awesome.
Agree.
But I do like the consensuality with all of this. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Especially knowing what I know about religious trauma and it being a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I was forced into confirmation classes when I was younger because I grew up Lutheran. So it was probably very similar to Methodist.
Yeah. I could tell that you were forced into it. Something didn't sit right with me about this that I'm looking at right now. It's not blurry, but I couldn't put my finger on it. It's the first big confirmation class.
Yes.
Your consent. No, just kidding. Sorry, Jessica.
And then lastly, on April 6th is the Spring Boutique. Please be sure to sign up for that. And that's all. I feel like the updates took about 3 years.
The last three things were things that I'm a part
of. I'm just like, let me get a word.
Storm is like, you meant we, right? You meant we're in charge of
Yes. Yeah, Stormy is on the camera right now, and she's saying hello to us at this moment. And especially Beth. She's saying hello to Beth.
Hello.
Affectionately.
Well, let's head into the Methodist moment. There's a lot that we've got to cover.
Yes, indeed.
Beth, you want to fill us in on our Methodist moment?
Methodist moment.
Ba-dum, ba-dum. I don't know. do I have a Methodist moment? I should remember to actually say stuff.
I have something to share at the end.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to share at the beginning then. Okay.
That's what Jesus said. I am the beginning and the end. Or I think he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah. super close.
I lost the Zoom, so I can't see you guys. Okay. I will start off. This is the beginning of the Methodist moment. And I will start off at the beginning of the Methodist moment by saying, Tim, why don't you share what you were going to share at the end of the Methodist moment?
Okay. That sounds good. I like that. Okay. So what I would like to share is something that kind of propelled my journey in finding peace. And one thing before this is that I think the ultimate way to find peace in my life is to focus on how God is my peace. And so I've been going through devotionals on peace recently. And I just think that's really like beautiful that God can be our peace. Especially if we remind ourselves of that every day. And one of the scriptures from one of the devotionals that I was looking at, actually the devotional I was looking at is Peace No Matter What. And you can find it on the YouVersion Bible app. If you go to Bible.com, then you should be able to get access to that. Anyway, one of the scriptures that it shares on day three is Ephesians chapter 6. And it's verses 13 through 17. I'm going to go ahead and read that now. So this is the New Revised Standard Version updated edition. So you're welcome, anybody who's listening, to take out whatever version is suitable to you. But this is the translation that I'm reading here today. So it goes like this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I just thought that this was really like powerful imagery, like the gospel of peace. I mean, my gosh, when I go into the gospels, I just feel filled with peace. And just the Bible in general, I feel very much at peace. And so that's a reminder for me to continue like my reading habit of the Bible. Make it a daily practice, like not only the daily devotional, but find some scriptures that I can read each and every day. Maybe even just going into the book of Genesis and finishing that up or something. But the taking the shield of faith, I mean, that like my my life has been like so strongly enriched because of my faith in God now. I never would have imagined that my life would be like transformed completely because of my faith in God. So really, it is a shield of faith, and that's beautiful. And quenching all the flaming arrows of the evil one, I think that's I think that's absolutely the case. Like when I've taken my faith so seriously now, especially as I've been continuing on this journey, my faith journey, I've been able to resist like behaviors that would otherwise put me into bad situations and like just undesirable behaviors in general. I've been able to hold myself away from those so much more so in like my faith journey here. And so that the shield of faith, that's amazing. And then, yeah, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, that just kind of like completes the picture. And I love how it says that's the word of God, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit. So that's, it's beautiful, but yeah, it all kind of comes down to filling, myself up with peace, with this imagery. And so, yeah, I'm inspired to like remember like scriptures like these and just remember God's peace and God is my peace. And so I just thought I would share that with you all.
Oh,
thank
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Super booper.
What you said about the shield of faith reminded me about Sunday school, because I just bought some new games to play with the kids, and one of them is Cranium Bible Edition. And I ordered it and we played it, but I didn't realize it was ages 16 plus when I got it. So I was like, oh no, this is going to be too advanced for the kids. But we ended up just like picking what were easy ones or giving them multiple choice. And one of the things that they were supposed to draw was Shield of Faith. And
Oh. And
I was like, no, I don't think the kids are going to be able to like do that or get the symbolism of what it is. And so we skipped that one. But for you to say Shield of Faith, as I placed my eyes upon that very phrase yesterday.
Wow. That's awesome. I love those circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's timing, basically. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
My dog is chewing up something. I'll be right back.
Well, while Beth is protecting her dog from chewing up something, we're going to go ahead and dive into our summon feedback.
Beth, so did you have anything else you wanted to add in the Methodist moment, or are we good to jump into sermon feedback? Okay.
Thank you.
For the sermon feedback, we are in Deuteronomy. So the nice thing about what we talked about this past Sunday was we were in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And we specifically got into, gosh, what was this? The second? Is this the second to last, or this was the last?
This is the last one.
I was going to say it was the last one of our Torah series, which then we're going to be like, what is next?
What?
I feel like it should have been called Torah, because there were five books.
Torah.
Or every week it would have gotten.
Torah. Yeah. Yes. Torah. Like it starts off as Torah week one. And then the next week, Torah.
Torah squared, Torah cubed, Torah to the fourth power, Torah to the fifth power.
I was gonna say to the power of four, so but they're both correct.
Yes, they are indeed. Just like different translations in the Bible, you have slightly different phrasing.
Right.
Yes.
Or completely different ideas altogether. But. It's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the book of Deuteronomy, there were a lot of things that Pastor Jim shared, especially how the book is divided into three major speeches that Moses delivered. He also kind of talked about how it relates to three significant periods in Israel's history. And one thing he did reference that I thought was really nice to kind of recall and remember is there's an area where he reads the verse when asked what the most important commandment in all scripture was. Jesus quoted the Shema, Deuteronomy 6. This is what the scripture was, 4-6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. I really like that verse.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, so this is Deuteronomy. And I'm curious what you guys thought about this past Sunday sermon.
So
that's, I know it's a lot.
So I really enjoyed this sermon. Pastor Jim did another funny thing. Like, you know, last episode we were talking about how I haven't heard of the Book of Numbers, Pastor Jim, or I'm not that familiar with it. And I thought that was just funny. I don't know, just the way that Pastor Jim presented that. It was just now this time he did the same thing, except totally different. He said, you know, similar but different. Similar but different. Oh my gosh. It's like what is it for those of you, is the Book of Deuteronomy your favorite book? Okay, is it in the top five? Is it in the top 10? You've at least heard of the Book of Deuteronomy. That was good. But honestly, I'm kind of in that category of I have heard of the Book of Deuteronomy, but now I'm inspired by what Pastor Jim said about the Book of Deuteronomy. And I loved how like he brought up the dichotomy, or what the perceived dichotomy of law versus grace. And like people kind of might have a misconception of what law means, or they think, okay, well, grace just brings us out of having to worry about the law. And I really appreciated how Pastor Jim kind of like brought it to light that it is practical for us as Christians or Methodist Christians, like the idea that these are guidelines or what is it? Guidelines, teachings. And that is really helpful. Oh, what? Instructions as well. That I really like find that so valuable, especially since one of the people talking to Jesus asked Jesus, what you consider the most important commandments? And Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy. And yeah. I really appreciated that, like, Jesus was quoting from the Book of Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Old Testament. I think that's what Pastor Jim said. So, like, it's really important for Jesus. And so, therefore, that's news enough for me for it to be it's super important for me as well. And I really liked how he mentioned how it's an expansion, or like it's explicating, like you have inexplicable, and then the opposite of inexplicable would be like
explicable.
Yeah. So explicate. So I or an explication, sorry, word problems.
literally.
Yeah. So I think that's nice. So basically I can go into the Book of Deuteronomy like I am one of the new generation, and I guess technically I am, which is really cool. So I am actually the audience that Deuteronomy was meant for. Though I am of a much later culture, I basically am. I could just go into the Book of Deuteronomy and get a totally like helpful experience of what God's commandments are. I think that's really nice. And I really appreciated how Pastor Jim mentioned that basically what you have is you go into the book, even though we're not part of that culture, it still is super valuable for us. It still really relevant to our spiritual journey. And so I can go into the book of Deuteronomy with that pair of eyes that it's still going to be instructive for me in my life in the modern day. Just as I read any other book in the Bible or any scriptures, Deuteronomy will be similarly helpful. And it seems to me that it's full of wisdom, like in a very significant way, not just story, but actual, like Moses speaking about all of these things that he wants everybody in the generation to know. So that's wonderful. And then finally, I'm so glad that he brought up how we have a choice to like follow God's commandments and his laws and basically guidelines and so forth. And it will bring us to life, and we'll be able to like do all the things that God sets out for us so much more effectively, or we could like just completely ignore all of that, and then we'll perish. And like any way that I look at that, I think it's so instructive and important, because just kind of like falling into the Methodist moment here. Now that I have like my faith journey and I'm following after God, it's just completely different, my life. And I feel like my life is enriched because of following after God and following Jesus and putting, basically taking up my cross and following, after him. So I totally believe what Moses says about, that when you do have a choice, that, you can, have a life of life, when you follow after God. I think that's beautiful. So yeah, lots to take away from this sermon for me.
Is everything okay?
Yes.
I can read lips. And Jessica said,
We have a cat robot thing, and Amber just cleaned it and swept the floors and mopped it. And we look out there, and like one of the cats like was in it backwards, just like the sandbox, and now it's like all over the floors.
Oh my gosh.
What is this? And I'm like, what happened? Anyways. Things are just so fun here, guys.
Yeah, no. So, I love having pets. Like, I laugh every single day because, like, one or all of them does something that's so ridiculous and makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Your life is not boring when you have a bunch of animals. That's all I can say.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to Deuteronomy.
Back to Deuteronomy. So I, actually have heard of Deuteronomy even before I started going to church again, but sure. I had to laugh because Tim, what you just described about Pastor Jim, like, is it your top favorite book? Is it top five? You at least heard of it? And yeah. In my mind, I was like, I've heard of it because that's one of the names of the cats in the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Cats.
Oh, and wow.
So
that's
I'm not
good to know.
Yeah. So the sermon only service that I watched, someone in the audience said, yeah, it's one of the cats. And then Pastor Jim confirmed, yes, one of the cats. And I laughed so hard because that was my first thought. And I was like, yep, Cats from Cats. But ever since Pastor Jim started going through the Torah books of the Bible, it made me think about the one time I was in a hotel, and you know how the Gideons like will leave Bibles in there, and it's a whole
yeah.
thing, and like read the Bibles. And I guess I didn't bring any reading material because I remember being in this hotel and I opened one of the drawers and there was a Bible in there. So I just started reading the Bible, and wow. I This whole time, I've been trying to figure out what book I was in, because I knew it was whatever book had all of the rules and laws that you should follow. And so every book, I'm like, is it this one? Nope, not this one. Is it this one? Nope, not this one. And so then today, when Pastor Jim was like, Deuteronomy, rules and laws, it was that one.
Yes.
And the only reason I remember this is because I was amazed that some of the laws and rules of our society today are still being used from the Bible, because it was
yes.
like it had rules for bankruptcy. If you file for bankruptcy, it will stay on your credit for 7 years. It says some sort Whoa. Of something like that in the Bible. And I was like, that came from the Bible?
Oh,
and
wow.
And it varies depending on like what type of bankruptcy you file. But, you know, the general rule is if you have bad credit in a bankruptcy, it stays on for 7 years and then it drops off. But I just like my brain exploded because I was like, that was a thing before Joe Moneybags, whoever invented banks, like decided it was a thing, you know. So I just like, I know a lot of the laws are outdated and you know, like they don't apply to the Christian people, and you know, times change, but right. I just thought it was so cool that there's like laws in there that are still being followed to this day by like society in general in some places anyway. So
yeah,
I just was fascinated by that. And that's my little I heard of I read Deuteronomy before it was cool story.
Totally. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Beth, because like that kind of falls into the previous previous sermon where the poisonous snakes and then putting the snake like the snakes on the statue so that God would heal the people of their poison. That's the medical symbol. So that's something else from the Bible, right?
About that too. Like I put that together recently too.
Maybe yeah.
I said that and I'm like,
it's like amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And like, because like, I mean, we know this already, but it's a book that like was written by real people in a real time.
And yeah.
It's, I forget about that. It's not a magic book that just came out of thin air. It was actually written by people who existed.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
That makes my brain explode too. I'm like, oh. I guess since the beginning of
time. Yeah, it just has this like wonderful practical like life transformational like information in it.
Yeah,
I just think that's so amazing.
You know, I shouldn't be as fascinated as I am though, because that's just how history works. Because didn't we like get our whole democracy system from the Greeks?
Right.
Yeah.
So oh, like, okay. Oh, wow. Like, I didn't know that, actually.
I'm still going to be really excited and think it's such a big deal, even though I know that it's not really, and that's just how history works. It's fun to get excited about the things that aren't a big deal than to be like, why is she getting so excited about that thing? It's not a big deal. Be excited for the little things, guys.
Beth, that feels connected with what Pastor Jim shared about 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23, like Josiah finding that that book, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, and how if Josiah didn't find that, then like basically a whole bunch of the Bible wouldn't have even been like written in the way that it was written. And maybe they still had those oral traditions or something. But yeah, like, I think that's really interesting, actually, like certain things happened the certain ways that they did. And so then we have the Bible, like all that oral tradition was written down in the way that it was. I think that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah,
I did actually do the homework a little bit. I went into chapter 22 of 2 Kings, and just the way it was described, how Josiah found that. That book of Deuteronomy there, like it was just so exciting the way it was explored. So yeah, I, I'm encouraged to like read chapter 23. I didn't get to finish. I listened to it. I didn't get to finish listening to chapter 22. I was at the very end, but yeah, it was a good homework assignment.
Another thing that reminds me, Tim, another thing that I took away from this sermon was that I think it's really cool that different aspects of the Bible are repeated in there, because like maybe you weren't paying attention when you read it in Deuteronomy, but you're going to pay attention when you see it again somewhere else. I just like that.
Yeah. There's
repetition of different ideas and themes throughout the Bible, because I know for me, I constantly need reminders because I forget a lot. And so like, I'm not even annoyed. I'm like, this was in Matthew. Why? I already read this in Luke or whatever, you know? I just think it's cool. Like, it's just kind of like a constant reminder throughout, just in case you never get to Deuteronomy or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Making any sense.
Yeah. But yeah, that makes total sense. And I actually really like that too. Especially how the Bible will put it in slightly different ways.
Yes.
So then yep. It gives you like maybe a more full picture of like yes. the spiritual concept or the theological like understanding, like how like even right. even that one that one reference to Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. Mm-hmm. What was it? All your heart, all your mind, and all your might? Or was it all your heart, all your soul, and all your might?
I've heard it. I don't know, because that one, I hear it differently all the time, but I never look it up to figure out which one is correct.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the really interesting thing, because it's it's all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. But yeah. then when Jesus puts it in like Mark and Matthew and so forth,
yes.
He might not say all the things, and he'll say it differently,
but slightly different.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like one of them, he'll say with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.
Yes.
And then there's one where he goes.
Confuses me, because I, you know, because I've heard the strength one with all your heart, soul, and strength, and
yeah.
like mind, and I'm like, but what about strength? But sometimes your mind is like your strength, you know, like you gotta
right.
keep your mind strong, and so I just always try to make little connections like that, even if I have to shoehorn it in or put the square in the circle box. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's awesome.
I did not choose a profession where I teach 30 kids every day.
Right, right.
Those aren't my strengths. I don't have the patience for that. I know myself enough that is not where I want to be as a person. But I recognize a good teacher when I see one. And my kids were really blessed, especially in their elementary school years, to have really good teachers. And Margaret Wassner is, I'm always singing her praises. She goes to our church, and she has for several years. She was my kid's second grade teacher, and she is amazing. My kids are night and day different. And,
wow.
And a good teacher knows how to put the material into terms that the individual person can understand. So
yes, that's awesome.
And she's really good at that. A good teacher is good at explaining things to the individual, not the class. And some teachers don't know how to make that distinction, but I think that's what the Bible is doing.
Yeah.
You know, because
wow.
Jesus is the original good teacher, I think. And so he needed to put it in different ways, you know.
Wow.
Different kinds of people to understand what he was putting down.
I do want to say that what you said was beautiful on how Jesus is like teaching us in a way that he's phrasing it in slightly different ways, or the Bible is doing that, right? The Bible is teaching us in slightly different ways, as you reference the various books and so forth. And even in the very same book, You'll have like two different, like Genesis is a perfect example of that. You have the two different creation stories, and then like it's like they're kind of coinciding to give you a better understanding. I think that's beautiful. That's super interesting. Yeah. I really enjoy that way of putting it, for sure. Kind of provides a better context for why we see the repetition in the Bible like that, and variations on that repetition. Yeah. In fact, isn't that like what a good piece of music is? Repetition and variation.
Yes. Including but not limited to Nickelback, which I've decided we like Nickelback now, America. Get on board with liking Nickelback.
Totally.
I never made it as a wise man, and I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. So
you remind me.
Oh my gosh.
It's no longer cool to hate Nickelback, and I'm gonna listen to them unashamed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's excellent. I'm glad, because I like Justin Bieber, and I'm like unashamed about that as well.
I like Justin Bieber too. He's
yes,
good.
That's
song.
Awesome.
I'm not sure how I feel about him as a person, but I also think that he's young and just trying to figure himself out. So let's give him some time to do that and see how it ends up.
Right, right. Exactly. Actually, for everybody's reference, if they are liking Justin Bieber at any point, there's this song that he wrote called All In It. And that's one of my favorite songs from him.
I love the song Love Yourself.
Oh, very nice.
That is good.
This is the part where we talk about Justin Bieber. So,
yeah, this is the Justin Bieber part of the podcast.
Colin, what's your favorite Justin Bieber songs?
Yeah. I really, you know, that song is so cool, because I think it really speaks to like life in general. He says, don't do nothing unless you're all in it. I can't sing like Justin Bieber, but yeah, that's.
That was pretty close though, Tim. That was pretty close.
I want you to, because you are Tim and not Justin Bieber.
Thanks. But yeah, it's a good song. And he even mentions God at the very end of the song, which is really cool. And as he gets into his latter albums, he actually starts talking about God more and more, which is really awesome. So
I don't own any Justin Bieber albums. I just know what I hear on the radio, which isn't a lot these days because I don't listen to the radio that much anymore. But my mom still listens to the radio sometimes, and she will be like, have you heard this Justin Bieber song? It's really good. So I get all of my latest Justin Bieber songs through my mom.
I can't believe that, because my mom is the one who introduced Justin Bieber to me.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
And did your mom introduce you to Justin Bieber, Jessica?
And scene.
That's so funny. Oh my god.
Do we have any prayer requests?
I'll start.
Great, Jessica.
I've never done that. This feels so weird. So I would say just continued prayers. This is our last 4 weeks ish of baby and tummy, and
yes,
I'm trying to like soak in as much as I can, because I know I'm really gonna miss this little thing kicking me.
Yes.
And all
even
that
though
and I'm so tired because I literally slept sitting up almost last night.
Oh, so you could breathe.
So I could breathe, and the indigestion.
Oh,
also,
wow.
That's a new thing that's happening, is if my meal is a little too full, it wants to come back up a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And it's not ideal. That I just started experiencing that yesterday.
So that's like you know, when you have the acid coming into your throat, it sounds like what you're talking about is like the next level.
Yeah, it's like No, we're not going to do acid reflux. We're going to do more.
food just coming out of here. Okay, yeah. That's enough.
But that is very new, which is why they always recommend small meals. So
is it specific to the pregnancy, or is this going to carry on over after the pregnancy?
It's just because my stomach and all my other internal organs are all in one location right now, smushed. Okay. So even the lightning phase, which is when the baby drops, then everything will also be able to breathe.
They describe that as the lightning phase?
Yeah, that's like, so
I don't.
It will, it will likely happen. Obviously in the next 4 weeks. My stomach right now is in a position where I'm like holding the baby in a, you know, where it's at. But when I hit that like lightning or like drop phase, my stomach will look lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The baby's like for sure
into the,
wow.
Yeah.
The baby canal.
So when that happens, then I'll be able to, they say like, you'll be able to breathe better, all that kind of
stuff. It'll be like a night and day difference. You'll be like, wait a minute, now this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that makes sense, because it's like, there's so much like power in like a lightning bolt, you could say. And like, that's such a powerful moment. Like your baby, like seeing light for the first time and basically being out there like in the external world, and then you get your whole like being back before you had the baby, basically. That so it's just like a super powerful experience,
or it's Greek mythology coming back and everyone is birth to
and we have like democracy.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we will.
We went full circle there.
We did. Yeah. But looking forward to that moment. And I think just prayers for us to kind of like feel completely prepped. Like we have a list, we keep adding to the list. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just kind of like, I think now that I'm officially working from home this month, I'm hoping that I can try to find some energy to work on the list of things that we really want to accomplish. And I haven't felt that nesting that people refer to. So I'm hoping that that can hit soon.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by nesting? Like making a nest like the birds do, or?
Yeah, we're going to have a bird nest.
You know, like... Tim, you know how like your hyper focus, or like you like your dopamine is just like, I got to do this thing and I need to do it now. And I need it's like that, except like preparing for the baby. Like it, like, it's like, oh, I got to fold. It's like, you just start doing like, it's a nesting instinct. So it's like, her caveman brain is telling her you need to get ready for the baby. And back in the caveman times, they did make an actual nest with like large twigs, and the babies didn't come out of bodies back then. They did hatch from eggs. So no, I'm making up stuff again.
You had me going there, Beth. I'm like, wait, what?
Just like a strong urge to, like, it, have you ever gotten an urge to just like clean your house? Neither have I, but
not quite.
I know.
Or like if you've like ever had the urge to like get hyper focused on one thing, where,
and then
like there's like, I think that's the, I mean, obviously we all have ADHD, that has absolutely happened. That's basically what it is.
But it happens to everybody and not just people with ADHD.
Yes.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So if a person is pregnant, they get to that point in the pregnancy that suddenly they just want to do all the things regarding cleaning, organizing, like making sure it's all ready for the baby. That's really cool. So even non-ADHD people can relate to the hyper focus.
Yeah.
If they get pregnant. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we have the bonus of it happening at random times.
Yeah.
Does Amber get sympathy nesting pains? Because I feel not nesting pains, but you know what I mean? I just feel like Amber is such a person who wants things to be organized and prepared. And so I bet she's probably helping to do that kind of stuff too, right? I mean, she's not just not lifting a finger, and I'm not trying to say that.
I think she is wanting me to hit the nesting phase because she, I feel like, has always been in a nesting phase every day.
Yes, her wow. life is a nesting phase. Yeah.
She's always
stressful.
That's inspirational, yeah. Actually.
It's exhausting, Tim. But I mean, I think for her, like, she always wants things a certain way, which is very good to have. And she's very organized, like, you know, and I think a lot of it comes from her having this like Southern, you know, house keeping, you know, kind of thing. And I admire it. And I, you know, I think for me, I've always liked things to be a certain way as well. And so, but it's just harder right now for me to have things the way that I like them. Like,
right.
Like, you know, normally I'd be able to be like, all right, I'm going to sweep and mop the floor, like blah, 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 you know? Right. And that's like such a chore for me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it's just so much energy, which is not fun because then I just feel useless. But I think, you know, we have both been so incredibly busy with work. Like last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I drove into Hollywood to work and it was just exhausting.
Oh, and, yeah, seriously.
You know, Amber's been so busy at work as well. And I think it's not really allowed for us to kind of check the things off the list that we really need to get done. Like we really need to pack our go bags, like for sure. Like we have the stuff for the go bags. We just haven't put it all together. And, so I think that's kind of the prayers just for us to feel like we can better balance everything so that we can like really try to spend as much quality time as possible together before baby comes, you know, cause these are our last few weeks together as a married couple. And that's so crazy to think about. So,
wow. Yeah.
And then our lives are never going to be the same.
Yeah. Well, they're already not right now. Like it's
right. Yeah. It's already sort of started happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty shifting over and then boom, there's a baby.
The lightning bolt.
I keep looking around the house, like seeing baby items, and I'm like, who's this for? You know, anyway, but so that's kind of, anyway, that's my long but short prayer request is just, I think for us to be able to find a better balance and spend more quality time together before baby comes. And to not feel overwhelmed that we have to like have everything perfect.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not going to be.
It's going to be a mess.
Stressful and messy, and you're going to be tired, and it's going to be the greatest joy of your life, but you're going to be so tired.
Yes, especially being in a tent. So it's going to be.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I mean, prayer requests aside, if you have any requests that like if I can help you out with anything, just let me know. Like if you have any actual like Beth, can you help us out with this requests, just let me know. I'm always also Jessica, I'm around during the day a lot because I don't really go into the office except for Mondays and sometimes Fridays, and I'm usually just here waiting to take Jonah wherever he needs to go. My dogs are like maniacs. So if you like, even if like, hey Beth, you need help with this thing today, could you help me out? Like I could, whatever. Just let me know.
I'll definitely take you up on that offer. Like just in terms of Because I don't know what.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything right now, but if I think of something, but I know there will be something.
Yeah. Just let me know. I'd be happy to help.
Okay.
Tim.
Well, that's awesome. That you're offering that, Beth. Yeah. If my life, my life is a little chaotic right now, but if it becomes less chaotic in the time that you need help, Jessica, then I would be more than happy to extend my help as well. Cool. So, but yeah, prayers for you on all of that, Jessica. Definitely.
Thank you.
So, I would like a prayer for peace, for me to have, just that peaceful perspective, you know, like, really making God my peace and like following after him every day and really every moment when I feel like my life is lacking peace. And, I think that, like praying with, more strength in my individual moments, like in solitude, I think would really help me to keep that peace going. And then, probably, I could use a prayer for, this is kind of an anticipatory prayer, for Lent. That is for me to actually commit myself to what I really want to do for Lent. And that's, I really, really want to read books, like more books, because I'm just like, I think I'm a really good reader of everything non-book related.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, be that way anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. Like these have friends, like colleagues, like neighbors, you name it. Like, they have some book reading habit, like, oh, I've read 20 books this year. For me, I'll be lucky if I even read one book this year. That's pretty much where I'm at. Like,
that's why I listen to books, because like, even if I zone out and like forget to pay attention a little bit, am I going to rewind it? No, I'm not. But I'm still going to get more out of it than I would have if I was reading it and then just abandoned it eventually. Right.
That actually has been super helpful for me. Like when I drive into work or drive home from work, like listening to books has been like really amazing. Probably the worst thing I could have done for this is I canceled my Audible membership, and I probably should not have done that, because I've been noticing that I haven't been listening to books as much. Not that I'm like unofficially sponsoring like Audible or anything like that, but I like just kind of having like a way to make it as accessible as possible, I think is the key. So whether or not I subscribe back with Audible, maybe I think the reason why I canceled that is because I already bought so many Audible or audiobooks in general. And I was thinking I hadn't even read any of or listened to any of these. And so that's what made me cancel it. Plus like just trying to like manage my budget and all that good stuff. Yeah. But yeah. So anyways, like I think for me, listening to books is great and reading books is great, making it as accessible as possible. But I need to prevent myself from like switching books constantly and not finishing any of them. That's the other thing that I need to do. So that's why I say like, oh, I've never finished a book, or I didn't finish any books in a given year or whatever. It's not that I didn't read any books. It's that I didn't actually go from start to finish, because I was starting and progressing on too many books and never finished them. So anyway, it's complicated. So a prayer for me to do the Lent opportunity and really put my like whole heart into it would be great. And then, yeah, the prayer for peace would be very helpful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I can say if for the book thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes it's like, we fill these expectations sometimes to read these like challenging books. I recommend young adult books.
Young adult books are the best. They're so good. Like, and you are correct, because like,
wow,
some of my favorite books are young adult books, and they make it so the stories are interesting to captivate like the younger readers, but they're not trying to impress us with all of the like big words and language. It's like,
right, totally. Right. And oh my God.
A lot of times they'll have series.
Yes.
With the books. And so it kind of gets exciting because then it's almost like you're, you know, instead of watching Netflix, it's like you're literally watching a series, but you're reading the books.
Right.
Yeah. And they're it's easy like coming. Reads.
Yeah.
So they're not like, you know, they're quick page turners because the writing tends to be a little bit bigger and like
fast paced.
But it gets you excited to read. Yeah.
Yes, that's the key.
I've always been of the school of thought, just because you have a high reading level doesn't mean that those are the books you should be reading when you're at school.
Yeah.
You're letting the kids read books that they want to read. That's what get them excited about reading. Not, no, you have to pick something from your grade level. And I have a huge thorn in my foot about this whole thing because Owen... Yeah. Really high reading level when he was in second or third grade. It was like a Z, which is like the highest in the scholastic reading chart or whatever. So his teacher in fourth grade would want him to pick out those reading level. That's college reading level. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, let him read what he wants to read.
Yeah. Seriously.
You're not going to get, and he wasn't allowed to like pick the Dog Man because he needed to pick a book that was in his reading level. That's still a big, you're not doing your kids any favors if you're forcing them to read stuff they don't want to read.
Right, right. Exactly. What ends up happening is they just find, like myself included, you just find something else to do, basically.
Right.
It's like I've constantly been wanting to read Pride and Prejudice, but I ended up giving up on it multiple times. And maybe I'm just not ready for that book right now.
I'm not ready.
I listening to it, it just like, can't comprehend every single thing. And then I can't actually sit down and read it. So it's just been like challenging. So yeah, I think that's just great to spark the love of reading first, and then you can jump into more challenging material. That's great.
Yep. That is my school of thought because, neither one of my kids really like to read. Jonah, it's a struggle for him because of his learning disabilities. And Owen was just forced to read boring books at a young age. And I don't know. When I was homeschooling, I was having them read books that I thought we would all find interesting. But anyway,
right.
That's a whole thing in my, you know, we can like Nickelback and we should be able to read whatever books we want to read.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Yeah. Justin Bieber and all like, I mean, like I have hypophantasia, I found out, where I can't visualize very well. I visualize some vague whatever. And then it's mostly like feeling and conceptualization that makes fiction book reading for me. And so like I like to cultivate that by just, reading whatever is interesting to me. It doesn't have to be any particular like skill level or whatever. And I think switching between fiction and nonfiction is a good idea too.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't have to like be totally committed to one or the other. You could switch off and it's totally a good idea.
But if you prefer reading nonfiction books to fiction, then read the nonfiction books. I also don't feel like we should be forcing people to choose what genre to read. Like, that's a graphic novel. You can't read that. No, graphic novels are amazing these days. Have you guys seen them? They're, you know, anyway, that's my soapbox. I'll get off.
No, that was a really good soapbox.
Before it gets too slippery.
Too slippery.
But how about you, Beth? Do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, how about you, Beth? Oh my gosh. You and Jessica really did switch places now.
Well, that's time for today's podcast. All right.
Stay mad, you Methodists. Just kidding.
No.
I prayers that this is complicated. I don't know. It's No. Just
we'll hear you out if you want to.
It's just for like the first time in my life, I finally feel like I'm on the right path to something. But the path that I'm following isn't money or like contributing to society. It's just like trying to help people that I meet along the way. I'm like, wait, that's what I've been trying to do this whole time. I'm not put on this earth to like make all the money and like figure out the cure for cancer. What I'm doing now is already exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, which I've just been having a lot of epiphanies about my self-discovery, and I'm like, wait, no, this whole time I thought that was bad, but it's good. It's good to be this way. I'm supposed to be this way. Why have I been trying to change everything about myself like for so long when I was made this way on purpose? And so now I'm finally like figuring out, oh, that's why. That's so I can help people in this way. And
wow,
this would like continued prayers to help me to help others.
Yeah, that's awesome, Beth. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, but just like I've been asleep this whole time and I'm finally awake and I'm like, I've been letting people get away with telling me that I have to hate Nickelback this whole time. And I'm like, in it, these people told me it was supposed to be a certain way and I don't agree with that. And so now I'm just like, it's kind of jarring to me because I don't know what to do with all of this energy. And so just that I can channel my powers like Elsa, and I, because the cold doesn't bother me anyway, but
right wow, yeah, that's really cool, Beth. Yeah, absolutely, that's really cool. I use cool when you said something about Elsa and the cold.
and I'm also realizing like and this is one of the things that I was thinking about, like I've had these epiphanies over and over again, but like, it's like the Bible, it's like a little thing about this here, but then you go to the next chapter and there's more detail about the thing and you're like, whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm having the same epiphanies over and over again, but each time they just get stronger and more like, oh, this little piece fits right here. I get it now. So just that I can continue to nurture my own self-love so I can use that to help people nurture their own self.
Yeah, absolutely, Beth. That's awesome. Yeah, I almost think that you and I traded places, Beth, because I feel like I'm the one who's chasing epiphanies all the time. Now I'm just being like, ooh, I'm just silent over here, and then you're the one saying
it's just I probably have just as many epiphanies as you, Tim, but I don't talk about them as much. And it's like, aha. Oh, okay, that's what you meant. Okay, I get it. I'm seeing it at a different, it's like seeing the same picture, but just from a different angle, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's super cool. Yeah. That's what the Bible does.
With AI, because I only see five fingers and not, you know, six thumbs or whatever.
Six thumbs.
So just pray that my brain doesn't turn into AI with six thumbs. Hey, Maddie Methodist. See you later.
We've had a lot of takeaways this week. And we're excited to continue diving deeper starting next week.
Yes, indeed. Good seeing both of you.
That was good to see you too. Email us with your favorite Justin Bieber song and stay mad, you Methodists.
Yeah.
Stay mad, you Methodists. Places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.